At the moment, as a church, we're going through in our talks a number of I am statements of Jesus. And I asked to do this one. I am the good shepherd. And in the New Testament, we read Jesus saying this in John 10:14. And Jesus uses this image of a shepherd more than once. And he obviously tells the parable of the lost sheep. And as Lina pointed out, for the people that Jesus was speaking to at the time, this was an image, this was an analogy, which would have had a lot of resonance. They would have, you know, recognized immediately all the imagery and all of that stuff. For us, we kind of have to pass it through a bit of a filter of, well, what did that mean to them rather than what does it necessarily mean to us, unless we're Kate and living somewhere where there still are shepherds sort of wandering around out in the hills. But I think most of us are kind of fairly familiar with a lot of that imagery. And when we put the poll up earlier on, what does a good shepherd do, or what's he like, or however you answered it, we got, you know, a number of responses. Here's one I prepared earlier, actually, rather than the one that you created. But all of these things that a good shepherd does. And this morning, I'm not going to be, in the main, telling you anything that most of you don't know already. I simply want to reinforce some amazing truth that all of us need to hang on to at various times. And for some of us in this room, these might be things which we kind of can intellectually say, yeah, okay, yeah, that's true. For some of us, we need to actually grab hold of these things, not in our head, but in our hearts, because of situations that we are facing right now. That this amazing God that we have says that he is the one who will keep us safe, guide us, protect us, discipline us, and we'll come to that in just a moment, care for us, know he knows us. Jesus says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Incredible. The one who goes looking, the one who lives with, and that's the one that probably we need to kind of, again, go back into the culture, that the shepherds really did live with the sheep. They didn't kind of send the sheep off into the field to fend for themselves and go away and put their feet up in front of a nice warm fire in their three-bedroom semi. They, because they didn't have a three-bedroom semi, but they lived out in the field with the sheep. Our God is the one who doesn't watch over us from a distance. He's the one who has actually come to live with us. He literally came and lived with us. The Word became flesh. And he went through what we go through. And because of that, he can do some of the things we're going to be talking about. But he still lives with us. You know, and I mention this song every now and again just to make sure none of you are forming your theology on it. You know, there's that song, God is watching us from a distance. Absolute rubbish theology. I mean, whether you like the song or not, it's up to you. I'm not a great fan, but rubbish theology. God isn't watching from a distance. He's the one who has come and chosen to make his habitation with us. And that wasn't just for the 33 years that Jesus walked around on the earth. So in thinking about the theme of Jesus as the Good Shepherd, I wanted to go this morning to something which actually we do have in common with Jesus's first hearers, because as well as using a symbol, an analogy from everyday life, Jesus was, of course, also drawing on something which would have been known by his hearers and which we know as well, which is this theme of the Lord being our shepherd, which we find most perfectly in Psalm 23, which we read at the beginning. This would have been well known to them. The psalm that you know, written by David, who was a shepherd boy, and so all of that, and he was able to draw on his own experience in seeing how God was a shepherd to him. This would have been known to Jesus' audience, obviously, very well, and it's known to us. So I'm going to be looking at Psalm 23. We read it together earlier, and that's what I want to use just for a few minutes now, just to draw some things together about how the Lord really is our shepherd, how Jesus is the Good Shepherd. And I want to start, by the way, I'm not trying to say that is Jesus at all, but I just kind of liked that image, actually. It looked a little bit more real than some of the illustrations you sometimes get of Jesus as the Good Shepherd, where he all looks a bit clean cut, and, you know, I think that's probably a little bit more like reality, isn't it, actually? Although I'm not sure if Jesus had a camouflage jacket, but apart from that, I quite like this sort of earthiness of that. I quite like the reality of that. I also like his smile. I think that's a Jesus-like smile, don't you? So be blessed by that picture every now and again as it comes up. If nothing else, you can ignore what I say and just be blessed by the picture if you like. And some of you, that's absolutely true. I'm not being facetious. I'm being serious. So, the Good Shepherd. Well, in no particular order, really, from the psalm, but the first thing I want to say is that the Good Shepherd guides. In Psalm 23, we read, he leads me beside peaceful streams. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. We'll come back to that second half of that verse in just a moment. And when I'm thinking about a guide, for some reason, this is actually more the image that I think of. Now, that probably is because I work very closely, as some of you all know, with a guy called Stephen Clemick, who is a qualified mountain guide. He often goes and does crazy stuff like this, and he would be the guy out in front there very often as the guide. And Dave, are you not qualified now in some way? No, okay. I thought you were going to qualify. There we go, getting there. All right, okay. So I like that picture, not because it's anything I'm ever likely to do, because believe me, I'm not, unless something were to very dramatically happen to cause me to want or need to do that. But because I think it really does sum up so much what is true about a guide. A guide is someone who knows the way. A guide is someone who will have gone that way before. When Stephen is taking a party up a mountain, a group of people up a mountain, he will always have gone and done a recce first. He will have done the route himself first. He wouldn't take people somewhere that he hasn't already gone. Jesus has gone this way before. He came and walked the earth as a man, 33 years-ish, as far as we can gauge. We have a God who has experienced what we experience, in essence. And so he is able to guide us. He is able to show us the way. A guide is knowledgeable. A guide is skilled. A guide will place restrictions on you. And this is where some of the discipline comes in. If you are being guided up a mountain, then you would be rather stupid if you ignored what the guide was saying. If you kind of thought, well, no, I know the guide is telling me to go that way, but this way over there, that looks very pretty. If you did that, you would get into trouble. And guess what? When we do that, we get into trouble. We fall down the crevasse. We fall off the edge of the cliff. We, perhaps more, less dramatically, stumble and kind of twist our ankle or whatever it would be. But we do these things if we don't follow the guide. In the word, the Hebrew word about guiding, it can be translated old-fashioned English word of straightening, which does mean to put restriction on. And yes, we have freedom in Christ, but there is a restriction to go in the best way, if you see what I mean. And if we don't, then we can be sure that there will be problems. Jesus is the one who guides us along right paths, paths of righteousness. He leads us to good places. He leads me beside peaceful streams, and we'll come back to that in a moment as well. But, you know, the places he leads us to are good places. God is not a killjoy. He wants the best for us. But with that, we need to follow him. And then there's this bit bringing honor to his name. And I kind of, there's the kind of traditional understanding of that and the way it's translated normally, that because we walk in right paths, that brings honor to God. And that's fine. And that's, you know, obviously it's a perfectly reasonable translation. Who am I to argue? These people know more than me. However, I did kind of look into a little bit about how that sentence is structured and what the words mean. And it seems to me, looking at how what the words mean and how you can translate them, it's perfectly acceptable, I think, to translate it as he leads me in the right way because of his name. In other words, because of who he is. So because God is good, he will lead us to good places. Does that make sense? Because of who he is, because of his very nature, we can trust him to be leading us in the right way that will be the best for us. We don't have to worry, well, you know, maybe God just kind of, I don't know, playing a trick on me or testing me in some obscure way. No. God will lead us in the right way because he's good. We follow a good God who is therefore a good guide who will lead us to good places. And we do all need a guide. Has anyone ever here physically been lost somewhere? Gone out somewhere and got lost? Yeah, a few of us. Lina and I do go for walks every now and again. Yeah, all the time, Al. Yeah, all right, we know that. Lina and I do go for walks, and we're not usually too adventurous. But I do remember one time, a couple of years ago, we were in an Airbnb somewhere, and I can't even remember where it was now. And there was kind of instructions in the room that, you know, if you go off out the back and follow across the field, and then you'll come to the woods. And once you reach the woods, the path to this monument that we were trying to find is really obvious, which it is when you're going to the monument. However, so we went and we followed it to the monument through the woods. When we came to come back, we discovered that what appeared to be just one single path when we were going this way, on the way back, other paths had joined from behind us, if you see what I mean, as we were walking. Does this make sense? So going this way, it had the illusion of being one path. Going that way, suddenly we were faced with choices of three paths every now and again. And we got lost. We got very lost. We ended up, I don't know, a mile away from where we should have been. More than a mile. Clambering over a fence, across a field, through someone's back garden who had quite a fierce dog, and knocking on their door asking how to get back to where we were supposed to be guessing. Now, we knew that in essence we couldn't have been very far away from where we meant to be, but as the afternoon went on and it was starting, the sun was going down, you do start to get a little bit concerned. Being lost, long story to tell you this, being lost is not a good place to be. It's far better to follow the guide. We could have done with a guide. Better follow the guide than get lost and end up a long way away from where you want to be. What else does the Good Shepherd do? Great smile still. The Good Shepherd provides. He provides in all sorts of ways. He lets me rest in green meadows. Obviously for the sheep, the green meadows, a place of nourishment. He leads me beside peaceful streams. There we go. How does God provide for us? Well, first of all, clearly he provides for us in all of those physical ways. And Jesus encouraged us in our prayer to our Father to remember that, to acknowledge that, and also not just to take it for granted. Give us this day our daily bread, the things we need, the bread for the day. This good shepherd does provide for us, but he leads us to good places, to places of rest. He provides rest. And something occurred to me in thinking about that. We are used to seeing in this country flocks, aren't they? Not herds. Flocks of sheep out on the hillside, lots of grass, just roaming round, grazing as they want to. In the ancient world, it wouldn't have been quite like that. The shepherd had to lead the sheep to the next place where they could find fresh grass, because the grass would kind of get exhausted because there wasn't, you know, so much around. Jesus is the one who leads us to places of rest. And you know what? Sometimes the places of rest that we have had get exhausted. They're no longer a place of rest. We're bored with it. We've used it up or whatever. He will constantly go on leading us to new places of blessing and rest if we follow him. So let's not get stuck in a particular way of doing things, in a particular mindset. Let's be open to be being led to fresh places of rest, fresh places of blessing. He provides us with strength. He renews my strength. Again, I kind of delved around a little bit into that verse, and renews can also mean restore, which can mean to bring back something which you had before and you haven't got now. And then perhaps make it new. Some of us, there are things that used to be strengths, perhaps gifts, perhaps spiritual gifts. Things that once we kind of moved in, operated in, and somehow it's not there anymore. And I believe for some of us, this is a time where God wants to renew and restore. And it won't be the same as it was before. It will be a renewing. But he wants to bring back a strength that you had, that maybe you thought had gone for good. But he wants to bring it back to you. Does that make sense, what I've just said? Is everyone with that? And I think that's specifically for one or two people here this morning. And if so, I'm sure there'll be opportunities for people to pray with you. And what else does he do? Well, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Our good shepherd is the one who will provide us with encouragement even in dark times. Which kind of brings on to my last point. The shepherd guides, he provides, and he protects. And this is an interesting one, isn't it? Because the reality is, we know that following Jesus doesn't mean that we're protected from all ills that might face us in this world. If you haven't discovered that, well, I don't want to prophesy that you will, but it's most people's experience in this room. It certainly didn't protect Jesus from not suffering things. And yet there is this sense that if we know God is with us, there is that sense of protection. And there is that sense of care. There is that sense of comforting. And the illustration, I think Lina held it up earlier on, actually. I found this one. And it's the kind of usual interpretation of your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And the idea is that the rod is there And you kind of read commentaries and you'll read this again and again. The imagery is that the rod is there to fight the animals and the staff is there to hook round the sheep and keep them on the straight and narrow and to discipline them. And, you know, comfort in that sense. It's a bit like, I never know if this is apocryphal or not, but apparently in the Bayeux Tapestry, do you know this story? It's got this bit underneath where it says Harold comforting his troops, and above it is a picture of a guy jabbing someone up the backside with a kind of go forward kind of thing. Apparently, that sense of comfort the staff is also about. And that's fine. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. And that's fine as imagery, and I'm sure many of us have been blessed by that in the past and can be blessed by that again today. That God is there is the one who will fight for us in situations. And he will keep us in the right way and comfort us as well. We have a God who will fight for us and stand with us. However, again, I kind of looked into this and found something that surprised me, actually. So the Hebrew word that's used in this psalm that is translated as rod can also be translated as branch. And this same word, it is translated as rod in the Old Testament, but three times as many times, it's translated as the word tribe or clan. And again, that comes, you know, you can see the imagery of a branch, a tribe, a clan. So three times as many times in the Old Testament, this word that is translated rod here is translated as tribe or clan. Now, I'm not saying this is this, you know, they've therefore got it wrong. Obviously, the imagery with the shepherd, it makes sense to translate it as rod. But here's a suggested other piece of depth of meaning here. What if we do think of it as being family? And staff, by the way, again, that word can just mean support. Again, the imagery, the staff, it supports you. It can just be translated as support. So what if we translate it like this? I won't fear because I know I'm not alone. I know your support through your family and my family, the church. And I'm not saying it's either or. I'm saying the way in which God provides this rod and staff is through, so often, his family, our family, your family, the church, our clan, our tribe. And that's both a comfort and a challenge, isn't it? Because it means not only are we the ones who can receive in that way, but we are the ones with the responsibility to give in that way as well. And last weekend, we had this title, This Is Our Story. And whilst we spent a lot of time talking about who are we now and where are we going, we did spend a little bit of time reflecting on where have we come from. Can I say that? Have we maybe lost a little bit of this? Of kind of knowing what's happening with each of us so that we can be that support and protection and fight for others. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but maybe some of us would feel that we need to there's a strength we need to renew and restore so we can be that support, strength, security, fight for each other when we're walking through the dark times. So our good shepherd, he guides, he provides, and he protects. He does that amazingly just through our communion, our relationship with him. But he also does it through his body. Father, I just pray for each of us, whatever we're facing right now, that we would know this morning, again, the truth that you are our good shepherd. The one who has literally laid down his life for the sheep. The one who is the door of the sheepfold. the one who does go looking for the one who is lost. And Lord, wherever we are right now, whatever we need right now, Lord, thank you that you are that good shepherd in this situation, that you will guide us along right paths, because that's who you are. You're good. We're going to sing again in just a minute or so. We're actually going to sing a version of Psalm 23 to start with, so you can join in with it, or you can just listen to it, read the words, and reflect on Jesus, the Good Shepherd.